Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the church where we are always seeking to know God, to love God, and to serve God. Whether you're joining us online, hello, we're glad you're here, or whether you're right here in the sanctuary, we are just glad that you're here. And if you happen to be with us for the very first time, we want to offer you a special welcome, because we are a church that welcomes and loves new people. And we have a welcome desk out there where we invite you to stop by, and we have a gift for you. All of us, though, have come on a really great day because John's got a message for us. Pastor John is back from his Redbird mission trip, and he's going to be talking about the role of faith in every age of our lives. I'm Pastor Lynn, the associate pastor, and our worship leaders today are Paula Cunningham and Suzanne, but there are some other special people doing some skits, all kinds of things happening. So, a lot to look forward to today. I invite you to find those connection cards that were inside your bulletin and fill those out. You know, you don't have to, if you've already, there's no change in your address, you don't have to write that, but write your name again for us so we know you were here, and then turn it over and look and see some opportunities and mark the ones that sound interesting to you. Also notice that in your pew rack in front of you, there are prayer cards. And you can fill one of those out, and then you can put the prayer card and the connection card right inside of the offering plate. Now, we do have a few things to share with you today. Number one, you know what's happening at 5 o'clock today? Trunk or treat. Yes, trunk or treat from 5 to 6:30 out in the church parking lot. You can invite all the kids you know. They can register online, plan to come hungry, and because while you're there, not only is there a ton of sugar, there are also concessions, because our youth have created concessions for a cause to balance the sugar a little bit, and they will be selling those items, hot dogs and chips and typical concession stand things, and the money they earn from that is going towards the crop walk, because they made a pledge of $1,000 they're trying to raise for it. Oh my gosh. All right. I also want to share with you that if you have a veteran in your life and you would like to have them remembered in worship for Veterans Day, we need to have their picture by October 6th. And I'm pretty sure if you've turned in their picture in the past, we've still got it. And it's only if that person hasn't been remembered in the past. November 6th. Okay. You got an extension to dig out those old pictures. Now, next weekend is the deadline to sign up kids. Hold your breath. You're not going to believe what's coming out of my mouth next. Sign up your kids for the Christmas musical. Oh, my goodness. You really do need to do that, because they work hard preparing for it. And it's a great show, and you're going to want to come. But you can be learning more about it in the weeks between now and Christmas. But they need to register online this week. All right, next Sunday is the crop walk. Today would be a great day to help our walkers by offering to pledge or to decide to walk for yourself. And finally, during coffee hour, While you're looking for walkers, you can also be looking for United Methodist Women in Faith who are hoping to talk with people who are interested in finding a circle of friends and making a difference for others. So, one last thing. If there are any children still with us, you're welcome to head downstairs for Sunday school, or you can stay here. We love to have you either place. And now let's stand together and sing our opening hymn, Lord, Speak to Me, number 463 in the United Methodist Hymnal. The words will be on the screen.
Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord God, you have called us into your presence this morning. Give us ears to hear your voice and open our hearts to follow your calling. Show us how to guide children in your ways of love and mercy so that they will recognize your voice when you are calling out to them. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. I want to invite you to be seated as we continue our time of worship. Throughout the course of the month of October, we have an opportunity to hear from our peers, our fellow congregants, testimonies and stories about what God is up to in their life. And this week, if you haven't sort of picked up on the theme or seen it in the bulletin, we're talking about the faith of children, which might be our children, might be our grandchildren. It might have been us many years ago as we reflect on our life and the ways in which God moved in our life when we were a child. And so as I was thinking about who we could ask to share a testimony for this week's stewardship series, I thought about Ann Walters. And if you don't know Ann, Ann teaches in the Sunday school as often as you can. When Pastor Lindsay asked for volunteers to teach Sunday school, she goes, here are the couple of weeks that I can't do it, but if I'm in town, I would love to be a Sunday school teacher. And Ann's going to share some stories about moments over her experiences of teaching Sunday school that have actually shaped her. It's been bi-directional. She's invested in the kids, and then the kids have impacted her faith as well by teaching Sunday school as well. So let's take a listen to what Ann has to share with us this morning.
Good morning. I am Ann Walters. I have had the privilege of working with many of the children that have walked through the doors of our church. When I work with the children or teach them, I strive for them to get connected with what they are learning. A favorite story of mine comes from Vacation Bible School many years ago. That year, our theme was the stories of Jacob. A high school student played the role of Jacob. Also at Bible school, we had a market, a biblical market area. In that market, the children played games. They did crafts and they ate their snacks. One of our shopkeepers was a woman that did not believe in God, and she played the part quite well, as she believed her potions and her snakes had all the power. Well, this really bothered a group of children. So they took the problem to Jacob. Jacob gave them a Bible, and the children presented the Bible to the woman. Well, by the end of the week, those children had that shopkeeper believing in God. What a joy it was to see how invested these children were in sharing the Bible stories that they were learning with this woman. Jesus says in Mark 9, verses 36 through 37, "Whoever embraces one of these children, as I do, embraces me, and far more than me, God who sent me." Thank you for inviting me to speak. I am teaching Sunday school this morning, so unable to be live in the service. I'm so glad that we invest in the lives of our children.
Thank you.
Our scripture today is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The boy Samuel was serving God under Eli's direction. This was at a time when the revelation of God was rarely heard or seen. One night, Eli was sound asleep. His eyesight was very bad. He could barely see. It was well before dawn. The sanctuary lamp was still burning. Samuel was still in bed in the temple of God, where the chest of God rested. This all happened before Samuel knew God for himself. It was before the revelation of God had been given to him personally.
Samuel.
Yes, I'm here. Did you call me?
I did not call you. Go back to bed.
Samuel.
Yes, I'm here. Call me. Here.
Son, I did not call you. Go back to bed.
Samuel!
You called me. I'm here.
That's when it dawned on Eli that God was calling the boy.
Oh, yes. Go back and lie down. And if the voice calls again, say, "Speak, God. I'm your servant. I'm listening."
Samuel.
Amen. Thank you guys for bringing the scripture to life. I think I'm going to try that with my kids. Go back to bed. Or if you hear your voice again, talk to God. Not me. Let's pray. Speaking of talking to God, gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us by name. Amen. We're continuing this sermon series about faith at every age, and we're encouraging folks to take a moment and reflect on the significant moments in your life that have shaped you as a disciple of Jesus. And perhaps as you reflect on those moments, some of them happened when you were a young child and maybe your parents told you about it and you didn't necessarily remember all the details yourself. Perhaps it happened in your childhood as you went through elementary school. Maybe it happened as a teenager or as a young adult. Maybe your experience in faith has really blossomed in adulthood, and you've come to the faith by yourself as you've moved into that stage, or maybe it's taken until your golden years, and all of a sudden you find yourself reconciling these stories, this journey of faith in that particular point in time. But regardless of where these spiritual moments happen in your life, we pray that you've had some moments in your life that have formed you as a disciple of Jesus. And this morning, we're going to be focusing on these experiences that happen early on in our lives, these moments in our childhood that shape us and make us who we are. But in order to understand this particular story of what happened up here, I want to go back in time a little bit. Right before Samuel's born, this period in our spiritual ancestors' history during the time of the judges. judges. All kinds of folks were raised up by God to lead God's people. But in the midst of this time, there was a whole bunch of confusion about what was right and what was wrong. The judges themselves were imperfect leaders, as any human is, filled with character flaws that are easy to see as you read their stories. And it says that during this period of history, that people made up their own moral codes for what was right and wrong in the land, and there was great confusion about what was right and wrong. In fact, that's how the book of Judges ends. It was that everybody determined what was right and wrong in their own eyes, that there wasn't any consistent idea of what was right and wrong. People just subjectively decided, I think I'll do this because that's what my stomach's telling me to do. There was evil and injustice, and people were suffering in the land of Israel. And it was particularly into that moment that Samuel's mother, Hannah, who had been trying to have a child for years and years and years, and she was unable to do so, all of a sudden goes to the temple to start praying. And this is actually one of my favorite parts of the story. She goes, God, you know, if you're listening, if you're out there, if there's any way that I could have a child, I will dedicate him to your service. And actually, one of the priests of the temple walks up to Hannah at that point, and it's sort of like, are you drunk? Like, why are you here talking at the altar? Almost like it was a shock to the priest that somebody would come into the church to pray. They were so surprised by it that they assumed that Hannah was doing something else besides praying. And in the midst of the prayer, God answers Hannah's prayer and brings her Samuel, who is here trying to get a good night's rest. And God continuously called Samuel by name, and Samuel would wake up and go over to his mentor Eli, who had also kind of lost his own way a little bit in the faith, and woke him up. And it took three times for Samuel to be called in the middle of the night for Eli to finally go, wait, maybe God's still speaking to God's people. Maybe God's not done with us yet. Maybe though it seems that the world is dark and filled with bad news and people are anxious and afraid and it doesn't seem like the word of the Lord was common in this particular time, Eli finally gets the idea that maybe God is still speaking to God's people. And so he says to Samuel, go back to bed and listen. And if God speaks to you again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And that's the backstory of how we get to this moment. This woman who is barren and struggling to have a child, finally as a child, she dedicates Samuel into God's care and service. So Samuel goes and finds the most spiritual person he can, Eli, who doesn't also recognize God's voice right off the bat. And so they are hooked up together, and Samuel's learning from Eli. Samuel was just a child. And I got to thinking about voices that I couldn't block out of my head as a child, and I was preaching this similar message at Whitmore Lake this last week, and my dad was actually in the congregation. He was with us because he was getting ready to go with me down to Redbird, Kentucky on the Redbird mission trip, and I realized I was about to tell a story about him with him in the congregation, which was kind of, it made me a little anxious, but my dad was my baseball coach, one of my heroes growing up. I appreciated being coached by him, and I was a pitcher all the way through high school, and I loved pitching, and one of the things that you do when you're pitching is you try to block all of the voices of people in the crowd or opposing batters or even the umpire, frankly. You just sort of tunnel vision, right? And all you really are looking to see is your catcher's mitt. And my dad was my coach, and you know, every once in a while when you get wild and start throwing balls, then all of a sudden my dad would shout out, just throw strikes, John. And I was like, well, Dad, what do you think I'm trying to do? You know, like, you would think I want to walk these guys or whatever. And you know, you try to block out the voices, and then all of a sudden, just throw strikes, John. Come on, get them, you know. And it's like, Dad, what do you think I'm trying to do? I'm trying to throw strikes. And it's amazing how I could block out almost every voice, and even if people were yelling and screaming and, you know, carrying on, all I could hear in the midst of that was my dad's voice piercing through all of my, you know, sort of cognition of trying to focus on the strike zone and the catcher's mitt. And I guess that's really true, right? We always hear our parents' voices, and parents, you could be in a room sometimes of hundreds of people, but all of a sudden, if one of your kids cries out, and it's like it pierces through all of the rest of the noise, and you're just like, my kid's in trouble, and it's almost like you're a Jedi, and your awareness of the Force goes up, and you're like, I am beelining it, right, to go rescue my child. I know they're in trouble. I'm going to get you. And I find it interesting in this story, Samuel does, at this particular moment, doesn't know the voice of God. God's speaking to him, but he doesn't realize it yet. And sometimes when we're kids, we don't recognize what God's voice sounds like. We don't have our sort of radio frequency tuned into God's voice, and it's hard to separate sometimes. Is this a voice that's coming from God? Is this a voice of my own temptation? Is this a voice that's coming from somewhere that will lead me astray? Or is this a voice that's putting me on a path that I should be going on? It can be hard to tell sometimes what voice is what, but thankfully, in the midst of this story, there's an interpreter, somebody to tell him, this is the voice of God, this is what God's calling to you to do. Eli says to him, just listen one more time, and if God speaks to you again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I got to thinking about people in my life who have helped me understand what God's voice sounds like. And I've shared with you before, I didn't grow up going to Sunday school very often. My story is pretty simple. I went to Sunday school probably through the time I was like 6 or 7 years old, and somebody made fun of me for wearing glasses in Sunday school. I hated going to church so much that I turned to my dad and I said, Dad, I never want to go to church again. And I was furious because it was hard to go. I didn't enjoy the experience of going there, and so I didn't have Sunday school teachers like Ann Walters to help me understand the voice of God. But I remember that as time went on, my grandfather was a United Methodist pastor, and I would call him, and I'd have theological conversations that would go long into the night on the phone, and he helped me understand what things were from God and what things were just noise and what things were trying to be taught to me by folks that maybe were disharmonious with what God was trying to do in the world. I'm so thankful for my grandfather who set me on a path of understanding God's voice so I wouldn't get caught up in all of the noise, all of the chaos, all of the confusion. I'm curious, did you have a Sunday school teacher if you went to church as a child like Anne? I found it so great when I called Anne and asked her to give the testimony. She said, well, I would, John, but I'm teaching Sunday school. I'm not giving that up. I'm going to Florida in a couple of weeks, and I don't want to leave the kids, so you can have my story as long as Suzanne's willing to record the video, but I don't want to miss a week of Sunday school before I go down and see my grandkids in Florida. Did you have somebody like Anne in your life? Somebody who taught you the stories of the faith? Somebody who showed up in Sunday school every week and created in you the person that you are today? Without them, maybe it'd be hard to hear where God's voice is, even in the midst of this time of confusion. The reality is, most of us wouldn't be the people we are today if there wasn't somebody to show us the road. And I'm grateful for people like Anne who step up. Or maybe you're the kind of person that had a significant moment in your life where you were going to Sunday school and you're asking questions, you were wrestling with your faith, and thankfully you were able to find somebody who helped you answer those questions. And I got to thinking about this time that Joshua and I drove all the way to Nebraska. Lindsay had flown, and we got in the car at sometime like 7 o'clock in the morning, and we hopped in, and I remember at this particular journey, the question started at about 7:01 and didn't conclude until we had pulled into my in-law driveway sometime around 9 o'clock at night. It was just this steady stream of questions that took place all throughout the day, and it was like, but why? 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 And at some point, we had gotten so deep into the questions that I was like, what was the original thing we were talking about, buddy? Like, I've totally lost focus on this whole thing. The reality is, our childhood years can be incredibly formational for us as disciples of Jesus. I'm grateful as a church that we invest in our children. Over the course of the last year, Lindsay had mentioned to me that over 65 different kids have been a part of our Sunday school program in some way, shape, or form or another. Not always every week and not always, you know, even monthly, but I got to believe that little seeds are being planted in all these children's life, and you have no idea what they might ultimately end up becoming over the course of their faith. A little bit later on this afternoon, as Pastor Lynn mentioned, there will be trunk or treat set up over by the well. And over the last couple of years, we've oftentimes had between 100 and 120 kids come to the trunk or treat event, their parents, and I just keep thinking, every time you take one of those Reese's peanut butter cups, which, by the way, is your pastor's favorite candy, I'm just putting in a shameless plug. Sorry, Mike, I didn't mean to, you know, represent another company. That was bad. Mars is a great candy company, I apologize. Anyway, I can't help but think every time a piece of candy is put in somebody's trick-or-treat, you know, bucket or whatever, that maybe they're developing a positive association with the church. Maybe for that kid it's just like a small moment where they knew that they could go to the church and be safe, be welcomed in by a smiling face or a demon. I don't know what people will dress up with tonight. I find myself thinking, this is a great church for people to grow and learn in their faith. And you never know where planting those seeds might ultimately end up becoming over, you know, as time goes on. I got to thinking about how those faith formational experiences that we have as a child shape us as an adult. And as we move through this stewardship series, I want to invite you to reflect on how those moments in your faith call you to be a maturing disciple of Jesus, how it transforms your life, how it transitions you from a place where maybe you think about yourself to thinking about others, to expanding your horizons so that you could be a blessing to this whole world. In the first week of our stewardship campaign, there were 42 different families who turned in an estimate of giving card for $163,700, which was $16,220 higher than last year at this point. I don't have any idea what those dollars will mean long into the future, but I know that when we invest in children and youth ministry, that we're building a foundation for the future. We have no idea what those students will someday eventually become. Last year, we heard from Travis and Kelsey about what their kids, their infants, they have two kids under the age of 2 years old, and I find myself just like wanting to sleep on their behalf. This week we heard about Anne. Next week we're going to be hearing from one of our teenagers, Nomar, who's going to be sharing with us about what confirmation the youth group has meant for him over the course of his life. Stories about our youngest disciples that we're investing in, helping them to hear God's voice in their own life. This church is transforming the lives of young people week in and week out, and I can't thank you enough for that. So I want you to take a moment and close your eyes and think about the voices that are in your head. What are they calling you to do? How are they calling you to be a different person than you are today? Maybe it's a parent, and you can't block out their voice as hard as you try, and they just kind of keep pushing you to be a better version of yourself. Just throw strikes, John. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher who, even when they want to be in worship, they choose to be in Sunday school, and they were there for you. It was a familiar, smiling face that was there every week that they could be there to help encourage you to come back, a person that helped you feel safe and welcome within the space. Maybe it's somebody like Eli, person who tells you to go back to sleep one more time and listen for God's voice in your life. Maybe it was a pastor as a kid growing up who helped connect the dots for you in your faith or helped answer questions, or a grandparent that you could call at any point. You could ask the deep questions of your faith. Whoever's voice it is that you hear, I hope it continues to speak to you. I hope that you listen to it and allow it to shape your life. I hope that you have a mentor, a friend, a coach, a family member, a pastor, a fellow congregant whose voice is clairvoyant and pushes you to be the best version of yourself. In the middle of the night, sometimes God's voice speaks loudest. Samuel, Samuel, speak, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm ready to listen. Thanks be to God. Amen.
This last week, I was on a webinar with the United Methodist Church, the Mission Conference, and they were inviting folks into a deeper conversation about how to be courageous communities that live out our biblical mandate to love our neighbors, especially during the current immigration crisis. One of the speakers was retired elder Jill Zundell, and she quoted a pastor that she worked with, Reverend Large, who always said in sermons, after teaching about a particular passage, he would say, "What then are we to do?" If you've been praying on that question and want to talk about it, I would love to hear from you. I hear a lot of people saying, "What are we to do?" So I'd open that conversation with you, and now I would invite you with an open heart, ready to hear from God, who created us in God's own image and loves us. I invite you into a posture consistent with your prayer practice, and let's pray together. God of wisdom and mercy, we sit here this morning in awe of the changing seasons, grateful for the natural flow of life that invites us to live, rejoice, and worship, as well as rest, prepare, wait, and listen. Thank you. Thank you for these moments to pause from the regular rhythms of life and wait upon your word. It is both a blessing and a challenge. Some of us don't know how to sit still and hear you, and yet you meet us where we are. Some of us don't always have the ability or energy to get up and go when you say come, and yet you prepare a way for us to respond. Help us to see the way forward, to follow your nudges, your winks, and your commandments. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, forgive us and help us to forgive. Help us to be better bearers of your image and see your face in all those around us. We pray for those seeking jobs in the midst of change or trying to make decisions. We pray for those who struggle with illness, pain, grief, addiction, and weariness. May your guidance and wisdom be the beacon we all need to set our path. We pray for those who get up every day to try their best to serve you, to care for the children, to teach them, to transport them, to clean up after them, and to encourage them. Help each of us to do our part to welcome the children and to help them grow in ways that keep them close to you. Our prayer quilts this morning are for Rachel and Cynthia. May the knots we tie and the prayers we say and the physical presence of this quilt bring them hope and comfort and warmth, knowing that you are surrounding them in your blessings and your prayers. Lord, we bring our hurts, our hearts, our hopes to you this morning, and in this quiet moment, we lift up these concerns to you, God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. As a community of faith, we pray for one another, for the ones on our right and on our left, may the God of love be with you. For the ones online or far from us, God be with you. For our leaders and public servants, especially those whose very lives are threatened by loss of income during the government shutdown, God bless them with the means to sustain themselves and bring an end to division and gridlock. Hear now as we speak together in unity the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you so much, Suzanne, for those words and that beautiful prayer. In a moment, we'll invite the ushers to come forward and allow us to respond to God's good work in our midst. One of the ways that we do that is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And if this is your first Sunday with us, please feel no obligation to give. Your presence in and of itself is a gift to us. If you would take a moment and fill out the connection card that was inside the bulletin when you came in, and you can put that in the offering plate as it goes by you. That's a wonderful gift to us as well. It allows us to follow up with you and connect with you and help get you involved in the ministries of our church, and that's a tremendous gift as well. If this is your spiritual home, we invite you to give generously so that we can continue to be a blessing to others. Will the ushers please come forward? And as they do that, I just wanted to call your attention, and it almost kind of breaks my heart to have to do this, but you've probably seen in the news over the last couple of weeks some terrifying incidents that have taken place in churches, and we gathered a group of people to focus on emergency preparedness and sort of emergency response. And I wanted to just give you some information while we collect the offering this morning. In the pew back in front of you is a card that looks like this. It's a trifold brochure that goes over all of our emergency plans, essentially. And I encourage you to take a moment, maybe it's not now, maybe it's later, to just read through how we would handle a variety of different emergency situations. But perhaps the most important thing that I can do is let you know that in the sanctuary, there actually are three exits. They do have exit signs above them, but this one over here goes into the memorial garden, and there's actually a ramp that makes it a little bit easier to get outside of this room and out into the memorial garden should that need arise. There's another exit over here that allows folks to go out towards actually an optometrist office on the corner of Grand River. And then the most hidden exit in our building is actually up here in the sacristy, where people can go up behind the altar and exit through the sacristy if you need to get out that way. Of course, you have the main exits going out this way if you need to exit the building. When I was young, I grew up during a time when we were always encouraged to know the exits of every room that we go into. It was part of our training and teaching as kids. And I encourage you to be aware of those exits anywhere you go, not just the sanctuary, but in other places. But I just wanted to call folks' attention. There are stairs outside of this exit and outside of this exit, and there's a ramp outside that exit. So sometimes people like to be aware of that, just in case it's a struggle to navigate stairways. I wanted to draw your attention to that in case you wanted to choose your seating accordingly for that reason. We pray that nothing ever happens in this space. We pray that there isn't a tornado or a fire or any other form of threat. But I want to let you know that the other thing that we've done as a church is we've invested in some walkie-talkies that now are ushers, and I also have one up here, and the nursery downstairs and the Sunday school teachers also have, so that we can be aware. There's a volunteer right now, it's Linda Victory, who's monitoring our television screens that have cameras that kind of go out into all the different entryways into the church, and we're looking for volunteers, folks who are willing to help us be a part of maintaining awareness. It's an extra usher of a church and everything that's going on here. And if you're interested in doing that, I encourage you to come speak with me about that opportunity. It's just an opportunity to make sure that we're doing everything we can to keep each other safe and secure in this time. And I'd say this seriously, but it kind of comes out as a joke. I'm kind of hoping that by bringing a raincoat, it will not rain, right? Like by being prepared, we'll be in a situation where nothing like this ever transpires in our church. But obviously, observing the events in Grand Blanc, also a couple of months ago in Wayne, there was an incident at a church. Even the sheriff of Livingston County and Washtenaw County has urged all places of worship to do all of their due diligence to make sure that everyone is safe and secure. So over the last couple of weeks, we've pulled together some police officers who are a part of our church, some firefighters, some teachers, some coaches, some school administrators, an EMT, just to come together to create this plan. So this trifold bulletin is the first result of that group being pulled together. There will probably be some additional steps that we take beyond that, including trying to make all of these entrances as accessible as we possibly can. But I just wanted to share that update because it's something that I've gotten a lot of emails about in the last couple of weeks. People have stopped by my office asking, what are we doing? Are we prepared? Do we have a plan? And I just wanted to share that we're working on that. Like I said, hopefully it's sort of like bringing a raincoat on a trip so that we never have to use it, but we are prepared in the event that it's needed. So with that, I want to invite forward Randy Clausen, who will be sharing a piece on behalf of our church's Church and Society group, Social Justice Awareness Moment. Please take a moment and welcome Randy as she comes forward to share.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, church family. It is my joy to inform you about the Michigan Conference Justice and Church and Society Task Force promoting justice in the Middle East. The task force started in 2022 when a group of justice-seeking United Methodists met and started discussing things in the Holy Land. The task force in January of 23 became an official under the guidance of Reverend George Coventry, who voted us into existence. God's prevenient grace has led volunteers, recently Reverend Corey Simon of Simpson United Methodist Church in Bangor has volunteered to be the chair of the task force. The purpose of the task force is to encourage you, United Methodists in Michigan, to fulfill your baptismal vows to resist evil, injustice, and oppression. We work to help churches champion the cause of justice, which will bring peace to all in the Middle East. One of our methods is highlighting justice action opportunities through annual conference resolutions. The 2023, next slide please, the 2023 resolution was titled, A Call to Promote Justice for Palestinians. The Palestinian Christians had sent a letter out worldwide, and the title of that letter was, A Call for Hope, A Cry for Hope, A Call to Decisive Action. That resolution is our response to their heart's call. It included detailed actions for each United Methodist local church. The 2024 resolution is titled, A Call for Peace with Justice in the Middle East. The task force creates opportunities to hear and understand narratives of our Middle East neighbors who we are dedicated to love. Our church is hosting a statewide Zoom study on the book, Faith in the Face of Empire, the Bible through Palestinian eyes. Ben and Brian here are facilitating a group attending in person here. The 2025 resolution titled Chevron Boycott, we joined the General Board of Church and Society and that was passed, and we asked Chevron to stop conducting business that gravely violates Palestinian human rights and benefits the apartheid regime in Israel. The United Methodist Kairos Response website has information and gives you an opportunity to sign the pledge. The task force will be providing ongoing information about implementing the resolution that our conference passed. Ponder this final thought from Zechariah 4:6. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. If news from the Middle East troubles your heart, consider it may be the Holy Spirit nudging and empowering you to say yes to justice in the Middle East.
Lord God, we bring to you a portion of what you have first given us. We pray that you will use these offerings to grow ministries for children so that they will know, love, and serve you. In your name we pray. Amen.
as we conclude this service, it's just been an incredible week in ministry. I'm fired up. We had a skit, we had the bells, we had all kinds of special announcements about justice and all of these wonderful things happening in our church. This last week, there was a wonderful fundraiser for the Vena Dental Clinic that raised a bunch of money for our partners at the Vena Dental Clinic. There were people at Redbird. There was experiences taking place down at CAS, Community Social Services, painting rooms and taking care of our brothers and sisters in Detroit. And I have to tell you, it kind of helped me get through this weekend, quite frankly. As a sports fan, it's been a little rough, and I'm still in recovery from Friday night, but we're proud of our boys, the Detroit Tigers. As we conclude this worship service, I want to invite forward Rose Bledsoe as one more special announcement on behalf of the United Methodist Women in Faith. She wants a moment to share what UMWF is all about.
And the Wolverines really blew it last night, too. United Methodist Women in Faith invite you to take a look at where we've come since 1869, when 8 Methodist women in South Boston voted to appoint a missionary teacher and a female doctor to India, sending Miss Isabella Toburn and Dr. Clara Swain to serve on behalf of the Women's Foreign Missionary Society. From those 8 women in Boston, the organization evolved to become the Ladies' Aid Society, then Women's Society of Christian Service, United Methodist Women, and now United Women in Faith, which today has hundreds of thousands of members worldwide. We invite you to visit our display this morning in the back of the community room and see what we're about. Welcome.
Conclude this service and go out into the world. I pray that you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us have our ears open, even in the middle of the night when God might be calling us to do something that's beyond our means. Samuel said yes, so can we. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with 2 locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our 2 locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.